Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Bright Khumalo. Tackling your stock-related questions this National Budget Day evening are David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne Makari from FNB Wealth and Investment. Send those questions via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Good evening, gentlemen. Wayne, David, we need to address the elephant in the room, which is Netflix, unfortunately, and we're seeing a lot of memes on Twitter. They're down now, you said about 37%. Their first slowed down in terms of subscriber numbers. They went backwards by 200,000 when, the average or their own predictions, actually they predicted, to be between 1.2 million up, or between 1.2 million and 1.5 million. So I'll start with you, Shapiro, because the last time, Netflix was down a lot because of missing earnings, Shapiro, you said maybe it's starting to look attractive, even though you're a Disney bull. What has changed now? Where are you now with Netflix?
I don't think, I can't understand is that this is a large business. I mean, this is a FANG business. So it's one of the, what used to be FANGs, because we don't say Facebook anymore. But how many analysts do you think there are in the United States that cover the stock? And how can they get it so wrong that the share tanks 37%? I think this year to date, it's down 60%.
Wow.
I mean, what do they spend their day doing? How come, we could see the slowdown coming. We could even feel the slowdown coming as economies opened up and people got onto the streets. And anybody flicking through Netflix, also could find, well, there's nothing really to attract me, after Squid Games or after, I don't know, Queen's Gambit or whatever the hits were. So I can never understand how it can tank 37% or how analysts can get it so wrong. So, I'll leave it to Wayne. He's been around as long as I have. He understands subscription type businesses, but to see this kind of knock just seems to be a little on the excessive side.
Yeah, look, I was going to say the same thing and say, look, it's an annuity type business with over 220 million subscribers, of which they say about half of them are sharing passwords, and they want to crack down on that, and that's easy, $6 billion straight to the bottom line, right? Or if you're Netflix and you still want to stay ahead of the game, you put that straight to making new movies and new series. What are your thoughts, Wayne?
Well, look, I think we've got to, talk about the company and then talk about share prices.
Yes.
In an incredibly good equity environment that we've had up until a year ago, the growth shares run, and the Mangs or the Fangs were the growth shares, and they just ran on the shares just ran on the back of an incredibly good growth in equity environment. Now that we've got higher inflation and higher interest rates and the prospect of quite much, substantially more higher interest rates, the growth shares are the ones that take a beating. Now, I actually think that we must differentiate between the reason why these shares are falling and a trigger. These shares are falling because they were very expensive and the overall background economic environment has changed 180 degrees. Today might have just been the trigger that caused it to fall. I mean, in a rising equity, in a rising interest rate environment, the highly rated stocks are the ones that come down. And this might just be a trigger. Who knows, there's another trigger next week. But the reason why they're falling is that where they were incredibly highly rated.
Yeah, and I mean, you say that, but, to allude to what Mr. Shapiro has said here, I mean, how many, sell-side analysts had this as their buy rating,
We've got to be a little bit kind on sell-side analysts. They're trying to predict the future the same as all of us are trying to predict the future. And that's an impossible task.
Yeah.
No one can predict the future.
Okay, fantastic. So I'm not going to fight those guys. But before we start, I have to ask about RMI as well, down over 40% today. Obviously, the news is not so bad as Netflix here. So Shapiro, what's happening there?
Well, this is the unbundling. This is it's a dividend, or it's regarded as a dividend, but I think you're getting, and I don't know the exact quantities, but you'll be getting Discovery shares, and I think you're getting MTM shares, which is Metropolitan, Momentum Metropolitan. So I think, in fact, if you take away the dividend, it was actually up today. I mean, so there was, there's, it's not as bad as it seems. I was trying to do the calculation, and if you take away what the dividend was and where they were last night, there's actually a positive movement in the shares. So they didn't lose as much as the so-called distribution or dividend. So it's and now it's becoming a very attractive share because, as they've stated, this is what's it the I forgot I've gone blank OUTsurance, yeah. So it's have a look at it now. You'll be getting value for it, but don't be scared by the by what you've seen now, what you've seen on the market.
Yeah, obviously, if I was a retail investor and I wake up one day, the share price is down so much, and the scrip is only gonna come next week, Monday or Tuesday. Obviously, I'd be worried. It's like, what's going on? Hence why there's so many questions on Twitter about this
You're
one
gonna be poor for a
specifically.
week. Yeah, you're gonna be poor for a week. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're saying net-net, you're seeing a bit of value creation happening here. So I like that. Let's jump into our questions. We'll start with the SMS line. Will Thungela be included in the top 40 or resource index shortly? I think they mean resource index. Wayne?
Look, if it is top 40, it will be included. Now, I know it sounds simple that you've got a top 40 index, so it's the top 40 shares in that index, but it's actually statistically a hellishly complex thing as to when you go out and when you come in. And but yes, if they are a top 40 company, they will be eventually put into the top 40. And if they're a top 10 resources company, they'll go into the top 10 as well. But you must remember, resource companies are notoriously volatile. They spend a lot of time jumping in and out of various, top 40 type indices because they are very, very volatile.
Yeah, okay. Shapiro, you have any thoughts on Thungela? Do you
I
still like it?
Well, the coal price keeps going up, and people love this, and it's up 205% year to date. But I wonder what we don't have any coal shares. I mean, Exxaro is I suppose Exxaro is the closest that we have. It's the only coal share, and Exxaro is probably double the market cap of Thungela. But I would probably, I don't know how they compose the indices, but it would be nice to have additional exposure of coal so that there is a more diversified base to the index. But I
Look,
can't ask that. You've got to get the actuaries, and they've got a mind of their own.
Mike Tekke is punching the air right now because he's got Seriti, right, which is also cool. So it's and it's big too. So okay, we've got a question on SMS here. Sorry, oh no, it's on email. Is asking about Tiger Brands. Says I've been looking at Tiger Brands for quite a while now, and I'm wondering why doesn't any private equity investor do an LBO on it and extract some value? I think that will be the cure to this somber story for shareholders.
Yes, I think that that is right. Whether there are big enough private equity players in South Africa to go into Tigers, it's not a small company. But when you think back of what's happened with their Nigerian adventure and the listeriosis and it hasn't been a pleasant journey for shareholders. And I think they've got fantastic brands. Maybe Tigers should be split between the branded companies and the commodity side of their business. Maybe there is some value unlock there. So if there are any seriously rich private equity viewers watching, maybe they should look at Tigers.
You know, Wayne, I funny, I was looking at it today because it had quite a good day. And, Tigers has been around
forever.
for 100 years, however. And you just Thungela has a market cap now of 35 billion. Tigers has a market cap of 28 billion. So, yeah. I mean, technically, Thungela is bigger than Tigers. So it's not without the it's not outside the realm of a private equity deal or some kind of deal. You know, it's not there's cash around, and I'm sure it could be structured. And it's got wonderful brands. It's got superb brand. As Wayne says, split the business because there's still a lot of commodity trading there. You know, we think it's a fast-moving consumer goods, but I think it's a commodity company. You know, it's bread. It's bread. It's maize meal. It's issues around that. You know, so but it's not outside. It's a very good business. I mean, it's got a great brand name. Mm.
But I mean, if the company's been around for 100 years, David, did you help with the listing?
Mm. Somewhere down the line, yeah. I remember Tiger. I remember the family well. You know, Jacob Frankel, sure.
Oh, okay.
So then Rudy Frankel, yeah.
We have a question here from Andre who says, hi, what's the panel's view on Reinet as a medium to long term holding in a portfolio? I'll start with you, Wayne.
Look, it's a difficult one, this, because I mean, we have to be honest, it hasn't lived up to expectations. Now, when I say that, it's the diversification away into new age businesses and new ideas. In other words, private equity. There hasn't actually done much to change the nature of the company, which is British American Tobacco. Now, I think British American Tobacco, you know, in the shorter term, let's say medium term, 5 to 10 years, is probably still a very good investment. Huge cash flows, big dividends coming out. You know, they still seem to be maintaining their margins and they still seem to be making profits, but it is clearly a declining industry. So, and you get Reinet as a huge discount to the underlying British American Tobacco price. So I think, yes, it probably is a fair one. But, you know, once again, it hasn't diversified enough out of British American Tobacco as what was anticipated when it first came along.
David, wasn't they basically increasing their stake in that pension business they own in the UK good enough? Is not moving a needle right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's never really captured the imagination of investors. I think it's got a close following, but it's not, you know, I think we were all hoping that Johan Rupert, when he formed Reinet, something big would happen. You know, he would go into the private equity space and pick up something really dramatic that would transform Reinet. I don't think it's really happened. You know, that's what I'm saying. I've never been attracted to go and do deep dive into what Reinet stands for. But he does have his followers. You know, it's not one I've followed closely. I always, like Wayne, I associated with British American Tobacco more so than that, you know, the other businesses.
But the pension business is the smaller one.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's been increasing over time. I'm not sure if it's because of the selling down of the British American Tobacco or because of, you know, they've been using those proceeds to buy even a bigger stake in the pension business. So it might be a two-prong approach.
It's been around a long time already, you know. So we're hoping, you know, we were saying, oh, this is great. You know, Rupert's big deal makers and nothing's really happened, you know.
So. Okay, then let's move on from Reinet. What's your take on the investment case for Redefine at its current share price, considering the recent takeover of EPP in Poland, adding around 19.7 billion rands of total assets onto their balance sheet? Wayne, maybe this one is a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, look, I still quite like the property companies, even at these prices. I mean, literally, you know, when lockdown started and the unrest and the riots, these property companies were going seriously cheaply and they have recovered significantly. But you're still getting a reasonable yield. I mean, office vacancies is the big threat, but that seems to have stabilized at very, very high levels. I mean, you know, they'll have an office vacancy anywhere from 15 to 25% of their portfolio. But, you know, you're still actually renting out retail space, you're clearly renting out industrial space, and the outlook for the shares is not actually that bad. I mean, you're getting a half decent yield on them. I mean, the yield probably won't grow for the next 2 or 3 years or might go slightly backwards, but you're still getting a reasonable yield. So I quite like the property companies.
Oh, Wayne, I was at Sandton City on the weekend. It was absolutely packed. You know, packed against with LVMH store. You know, people were queuing up. Hold on a sec. This just doesn't tie up with our view of where the economy is and what's happening, whether they're spending or whatever they're doing. But the food areas, everything was packed. So I don't know whether it's pointing towards a turnaround and whether things are better, much better than we actually think. But it knocked me out, you know, just like, oh, I wasn't expecting this, you know. There might be signs of things at least steadying and not as bad as they are. And I say that, you know, especially for L2L. What's it, the Liberty 2 degrees, you know, for something like that. It'd be very interesting to see how they're operating.
Yeah, I mean, they had that Edgar's problem in Melrose Arch. I see they fixed it. They've put a nice play area for kids there and a gym where moms can go to the gym. The kids can go into the playroom there, which is quite an interesting model if you ask me. We've got a question here on the SMS line saying, when will be the right time to buy Prosus and Mondi shares? So I'll give you Shapiro Prosus.
You know, I watch it every day. I watch
then
it with interest every day, and I watch the Chinese tech shares with every day, and I'm waiting for that, you know, the knight in shining armor to come and rescue it. And each day, it looks, you know, just looks a bit flat. I don't think we're far away, but I don't want to call the bottom yet, because I think somewhere down the line there's going to be a turnaround in Chinese companies. I don't think they can push this agenda too far. I don't think they want, you know, I'm talking about the Chinese authorities. So somewhere down the line there's going to be a turnaround. But for the meantime, every time we say that, we get down to a bottom. And although I'm not calling Prosus, I looked at Naspers, Wayne, we're at 2017 levels. We've gone back
and then
5 years.
yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
it's not all fall down. Something's going to turn around. But
Yeah.
I don't want to call it today.
Yeah, not everything goes to zero. You know, the opposite obviously is that trees don't grow to the sky. My morning routine, by the way, includes looking at the, you know, the 10 cent share price and then taking off my glass and going to cry in the bathroom afterwards. So that should tell you know, how interesting that is. And Mondi shares, Wayne?
Look, Mondi is a fantastic company. They are so geared for the new world and ordering online and into specialty packing. The outlook is actually fantastic for Mondi. They are currently obviously negatively affected by their operations in Russia and the whole sentiment around Russia, and their Russian operations are big. I mean, it's not minuscule, they're actually quite big. So the Russian situation will come to some form of resolution because the war is unsustainable for the Russian economy. It literally cannot sustain this for an indefinite time period. So this sort of price range in Mondi, I know it's up strongly. Wasn't it up quite strongly today?
Today, yeah.
But I would still buy at this price. I think it's a fantastic company.
Yes, we have a question from Clyde, who says, could the panel please provide a view on the two following platinum stocks, Northam and Implats, which have corrected, you know, plus minus 20%. Looking forward for December 2022, is this a buying opportunity? So Northam or and Implats. David?
I don't know. You know, the platinum price, I'm quite bullish on commodities. When I say bullish, I'm not wildly bullish, but I think if they're going to bumble along. And I think they're still at these levels generating a lot of cash and doing pretty well. But it's such a hard call to make, you know, whether or not you're going to get massive growth out of it. I think they'll do okay. And you know, from that point of view, would I buy them? I'm not sure. You know, I take the chickens route. If I am going to go into commodities, I go into the diversifieds. You know, I go into either Billiton or a Glencore or an Anglo's, where I've got a much broader basket of commodities. I always find platinum very, very hard to read on a short-term basis. You know, on a short-term basis, it's very, very difficult. And I think we've probably seen the best in platinum for the meantime. So are they going to fall in a heap? No. It's taken me a long time to say nothing.
maybe you can change that way. No pressure.
Look, commodities, we are reaching the end of a bull market in commodities. Global interest rates are going up. Global growth prospects will clearly be lower over the next while. I don't see a massive downturn in the commodity cycle because there's no new supply coming on stream. The platinum, the PGMs have been exacerbated by this Russian conflict because they're huge producers of palladium in particular, but PGMs in general. So I would wait. I would not buy now. But if we are lucky enough to see a 20 or 30% fall in platinum share prices, I would buy them strongly because I believe that I think is actually a great future for the PGMs in fuel cells.
Okay.
I think the market's looking so much at batteries and forgetting about fuel cells.
Yeah,
I think actually fuel cells are going to be the answer.
Okay, so you are very bullish on PGMs, and I don't know if
longer term, but I'll wait now. I'll wait for some price weakness today.
Okay, fantastic. The moment of truth is here, gentlemen. I'll start with you, David. What's your stock pick for the evening?
You know what I'm going for? I looked at J&J's results, Johnson & Johnson, and that sparked quite a bit of interest in the medical devices area. And it's very hard to find one business. So I've gone for the iShares Medical Devices ETF, which embodies all those shares in Thermo Fisher, Medtronic, Intuitive Surgical, which I like as a theme, that side of the market. So I think if anybody looking to embrace this medical devices area, as people get back to the elective surgery side of things, there's a very good and very nice way to get in through this iShares Medical Devices ETF.
Yeah, as long as you didn't pick cash, this evening, you can walk with your chest up. Wayne, what's your pick?
Well, there was no collusion between David and myself at all prior to this program. And David really put my case forward. I mean, I'm going for RMI. Mm.
Okay.
I think you're getting our children's, which is a great business. It really is. You've had the unbundling. You got the special dividend out of the way.
Yes.
And effectively, RMI is OUTsurance, and you're probably going to get a name change at some stage into OUTsurance. And this is an extremely good business that's done well over years. And I quite like the short-term insurers because if they hit a tough time, floods, fires, hailstorms, they can reprice their premiums within 12 months. You repriced because it's a yearly repricing. It's actually a very good business.
Okay, fantastic. So you're going with RMI and Mr. Shapiro is going with the iShares Medical Devices Index. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thanks to my guests, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne Makari from FNB Wealth and Investments. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. when we broadcast the State of the City Address, when the City of Johannesburg Executive Mayor Mpho Phalatse reflects on the municipality's performance and outlines its directions for the year ahead. Julieta takes more stock-related questions tomorrow evening. Thank you.